You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Mark Morrison. He's an IT infrastructure specialist with the City of Ashland. As a Southern Oregon University alum, Mark built a tech-based personal-use cooler to keep beverages cold. But that idea ballooned into a product that can help humanitarian efforts worldwide. Mark joins me in the studio to explain his pretty cool invention. Welcome to the Exchange, Mark.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mike.
So tell me about this product you created and what's its purpose.
So this, like you said, this product actually originally started as an idea for a beverage cooler, and it was a neat idea. But at some point, I realized that this technology that I was developing could be used to save lives, and that's mostly in maintaining cold chain. So a cold chain is a concept in which you are trying to keep temperature-sensitive medical materials, especially vaccines, cold from the time that they're produced to the time they're administered. And my device does that. It keeps them cold, especially for that last mile delivery, specifically what we're designing for, since up to 50% of all vaccines destined for last mile, these last mile destinations in rural and remote communities around the world. So think places that don't have reliable access to power, electricity, or even roads, struggle to get these critical vaccines. And like I said, it's about 50% of those, which is about $34 billion a year in waste. And more importantly, every single year, 1.5 million children die from diseases that we already know how to prevent. And when I learned about this problem, I feel like I had to solve it. I'm someone who's a problem solver. You know, I work in IT. I'm all about solving problems, and I just, you know, knew this is something I had to do.
Okay, so it sounds like you're solving for a logistical problem in transportation of critical items.
Yes, that's correct. And it's my product is the it's the cold cap. So it retrofits existing vacuum insulated flasks into portable vaccine refrigerators. And so we're not, you know, reinventing the wheel here, but we're utilizing off-the-shelf hardware. And more importantly, we do accurate temperature control as well as monitoring and reporting, since that's actually a huge reason why vaccines don't make it to their destination is because there's gaps in the monitoring and reporting. And our device does a lot of that as well as some active temperature correction.
Okay. Can you describe this? What does it look like?
So think like, you know, your vacuum insulated flask is like your hydro flask, right? So think like a big old half-gallon hydro flask.
We're not talking a thermos, a water bottle.
It is actually. That's the base platform. So like I said, we're utilizing off-the-shelf hardware. So that's the insulating vessel.
Okay.
But then we replace the cap with a device that does active cooling, temperature monitoring and control, and then reporting. So it can report to other nodes within it and report that back to the people trying to carry out the care, because current reporting tools only often tell you that the vaccines failed after the fact, that they went over temperature. So this gives people in the field the tools and reporting necessary to ensure
okay,
that it gets there.
So let me see if I can translate what I'm hearing. If I have a water bottle, a thermos, and I put water in it, and I can buy one of those at Walmart, and it tells me, well, for 12 hours, we'll keep your beverage cold.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing you say is that you have a specially fitted cap that will fit onto any standard size thermos, and through that cap, that whatever's inside will maintain a set temperature for a much longer period of time. And on top of that, this cap, this specially fitted cap that you've invented, will also report. It'll record data and report that data to some online app.
Dashboard. So that's correct, Mike. The only correction is that we are designing for specific vessels right now. And it's not any off the shelf, but you know, it's using the same technology that you might find at something you'd get at the store.
Okay,
so the same vessel.
So the cap fits on the vessel.
Mm-hmm.
It reports
yep.
data, and so people can have a sense of what's being transported and the conditions of whatever the item is.
Yes, and that report data monitoring reporting is logging data for up to 30 days, so it's got a 30-day battery life. and the cooling module will actively cool your payload, the vaccines, for as long as you're getting power. And that actually works out pretty well in our situation, since a lot of times power is intermittent. You know, it's from solar or intermittent grid or from a car or a plane. So it can, and then as you know, they can keep temperature for a long time in those vessels. So it actually works quite well, as opposed to existing solutions, which don't have active cooling, or, you know, relying on things like ice packs, which is ice packs and a lunch pail, essentially, is a lot of the current solutions out there.
Okay. So there's some energy being produced by this cap, and how do you derive power?
So there's no energy being produced within the cap except for the small battery used to do the ongoing monitoring.
Gotcha.
And the power for the active cooling is going to come from when it's, you know, in transit on a car. So think like, you know, your car 12-volt socket, or, you know, outposts that might have access to solar. Or oftentimes these rural remote communities might have access to power, but it's very intermittent. You know, it only comes on for a few hours a day. And our device is specifically designed to take advantage of those scenarios in which they can utilize these intermittent power sources to keep the vaccines cold, where, now a lot of times that's where they might fail.
Well, it sounds like you're solving for a huge problem.
So it is a huge problem. It's, like I said, to reiterate before some of the numbers, it's $34 billion a year of waste. That's, you know, to put that in perspective, that's roughly half the budget of U.S. aid, when that was in the news. And like I said, more importantly, there's 1.5 million children that die every year from basic diseases that we already know how to prevent. You know, we're talking like mumps and rubella and polio.
So you're saving lives.
That's the goal.
What did you study at SLU? What was your degree field?
So believe it or not, my degree field was environmental science. I did do a pivot to IT just because, here at SOU, I worked in the IT department and, you know, one job turned to another, and it was, and that's also where a lot of this device was born. Actually, was in the SOU IT department because, one summer I was bored of some e-waste and started cobbling something together. And
hold that thought. Yeah. I want to ask you more about that, but let me remind the audience of who I'm talking to. If you're just joining us, my guest is Mark Morrison. He's an IT infrastructure specialist with the City of Ashland. He's also the inventor of Cold Connect. Is that right?
Yep, that's the company name.
It's an internet-enabled solar-powered cooling and monitoring cap that fits any standard water thermos?
Yeah, water thermos. Vacuum-insulated flask.
Vacuum-insulated flask.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mark, tell me about this journey of yours. You were about to tell me, but I want you to take me back to when this idea first popped into your head.
Yeah. So, like I said, the original purpose for this invention, it's a little bit of an embarrassing story, but, you know, it's a fun one. A few summers ago, I was, bored in the IT department at SOU, and I had the problem that my beer and my growler was getting warm. And I wanted to, you know, cool it down. So I started cobbling together some e-waste and cutting some stuff up and, you know, putting stuff together. And I've always been a bit of a tinkerer making stuff. And then I made something, kept my beer cold. And then it was neat. It went on a shelf. I didn't touch it for a couple of years. And then I got the opportunity to be a part of a statewide invention competition called Invent Oregon. And somewhere before that, I had learned of the issue of cold chain management and delivering vaccines to these remote communities, and suddenly it clicked, you know? It's I could be using this device that I made and repurpose it to keep vaccines cold for these remote communities. And through the Invent Oregon process, which is a statewide collegiate design competition, it's like a, you know, 6-month boot camp. We had trips up to Portland. And then it all culminated in this big event where, you know, we gave our pitches, we ran a booth. And along the way, we had mentors and subject matter experts from across industries and helped us. And they also gave us some money as well to help develop the prototype further. And through that, we had a working prototype at the very end. And we were took home one of the top awards from the competition, the Visionary Award. And the first time that Southern Oregon has ever taken home that award. So we're very proud to have done that.
Wow. When did that happen?
That happened back in June.
So just back in June.
Yeah. And we've formally—
And you created your first prototype.
Well, I guess that was technically the third prototype. The first one was that humble beer cooler.
Okay.
but yeah, this is the first one that was purpose-built for that. And yeah, it was an insane process. And the one of the things I really learned that was super valuable wasn't just the technical skills in building the prototype, but it was connecting with your customers. Like, who are you actually trying to, you know, sell this to or, you know, or work with, and not just making something that's, making a solution in search of a problem. And so through this process, we're actually able to connect with some NGO groups and begin conversations and talk about their pain points and how we could design this product. And a lot of those conversations are still ongoing as we move forward into our pilot programs.
Okay. So through this process, you connected with the market itself.
Yes.
And you further understood their pain points, and their feedback helped you iterate the design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, to even jump back a little bit, you know, we talked a lot about the technicality of how the product works and things. And that is something I'm almost trying to move away from a little bit. You know, there's a lot of cool technology, but at the end of the day, it's like this device, like, you know, what does it do, right? It's meant to save lives. It's meant to save lives in some of the most vulnerable communities in the world. So, and that's kind of the mission, the message and mission that we're pushing forward with. And that's, you know, like I said, that's the pain points. It's like, hey, we're not able to deliver this care to these communities for X, Y, Z reasons. It's like, so how can you specifically make the product to fit those consumer needs? And yeah.
So you're working full time.
Yes.
How do you find time to pursue this venture? I mean, you're trying to save millions of lives.
Uh-huh.
And fit a solution mm-hmm. to a huge logistical problem, and you're working full time here in Ashland.
Yeah, so actually, I would say that a lot of my work does lead into this problem, this possible solution, being IT systems person.
Yeah,
I learn a lot about networking and how systems go together, and that's a huge part of this product. It's not just the device, but how the data moves, how everything connects. And that's something that I've just learned over the course of my short career and how to continue to improve. And to answer your question about, you know, where do you find the time? It's often it's you know, after work, it's late nights, it's over the weekend. I have a very small and dedicated team that we meet pretty frequently, a few times a week now, and just, you know, get it done and chip away at it.
Well, that's part of being an entrepreneur. You have to recruit a team. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to socialize this idea and get people to buy in and become part of your team.
And I've been extremely, extremely grateful coming into the entrepreneurial ecosystem. Like, I've been blown away with how welcoming and helpful everybody has been. Like other industries, it's more like crabs in a bucket, right? Everyone's like trying to get one over on each other. But everyone in the entrepreneurial community just wants to help everybody succeed. And I've received a lot of support and just people approaching me after pitches and saying, like, hey, I know how to do this. It's like, if you ever need help with that, let me connect you to this person. And
I love to hear that, because I know Stanford University is famous for its entrepreneurial ecosystem and support of entrepreneurs from its engineering department. How is SOU involved in helping you?
So SOU has been pivotal in a couple of ways. First off, even just through publicity outlets connecting me with alumni, initially with the Invent Oregon process, one of my professors, Eric Palmer, turned me on to this whole thing and kind of plucked me out of the water and was like, hey, you'd be a great candidate for this, and helped me along to get started in that field.
What's your vision for Cold Connect?
The long-term or the short-term vision?
Well, we've got about 30 seconds.
30 seconds? All right. Well, the long-term vision for Cold Connect is to save lives, and to save 1 million lives is kind of the big lofty goal. It's like, if we could do that, I'd consider it a success, because we want to measure our success not just in, you know, revenue per quarter, but in actual people saved and impact made.
Okay. Well, I congratulate you on that.
Wonderful. Thank you.
My guest was Mark Morrison, creator of Cold Connect. I'm Mike Green. You've been listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio.